So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
There are too many guns on the street. We lose 93 million Americans a day to gun violence.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom reaching you loud and clear on the alt-right frontier. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. You are tuned in on the TFR Radio Network, broadcasting to you from a log cabin in a secret mountaintop location somewhere in Appalachia on White America Radio. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Freedom Rings. First of all, I want to thank everyone who dropped an email wanting to make sure that I was okay, but we were pretty far inland for this one, although the Outer Banks did get hit, a direct landfall with Cape Hatteras, and of course the Bahamas were absolutely overrun in this. And as far as I know, Grand Bahama Island, I think, was 70% of it was underwater. Just amazing. But through the grace of God, it did not tip over, so I'm sure that Hank Johnson will be more than glad to hear that. And also, Hatteras Island, which is technically it's a cape, that was also spared from being capsized in this horrible storm. I guess probably because it's attached to the mainland via a bridge or two, kind of acted like an outrigger. So neither the Bahamas nor Cape Hatteras were tipped over and capsized during this storm.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
No, Hank, Guam did not capsize in this storm because it is in the Pacific, and luckily, by the grace of God, neither the Bahamas nor Hatteras Island were tipped over during this maelstrom either. But that brings me to something. I mean, there was a lot of, not a lot, considering the size of the storm. There were several deaths in the Bahamas and a few in South Carolina and North Carolina. And quite tragically here in North Carolina, the first death due to this hurricane was an 85-year-old guy who was on a ladder trying to get his house prepped for the storm. And he fell off the ladder, and I don't know if he hit his head or whatever, but he was killed. So that was a really tragic story, because this is just an old guy just trying to save his house and falls off a ladder. And as you folks know, you know, my dad fell off the roof 2-3 years ago, broke his back in the process, and thank God, you know, he survived. I mean, he could have very easily died as well. But just a really sad story when an older person like that dies tragically from something that's just, I guess, stupid, could have been avoided. You know, have a family member or somebody come over and help you, at least, you know, balance the ladder, do something. Don't try and do this stuff at that age, folks. You know, I know you've probably gone through your life and you know you don't feel old and you want to be independent and continue doing things yourself, but there comes a time when you got to realize, you know, you got to give up the car keys. You can't do these things on your own. You can't go up on the roof. You can't clean the gutters. You can't install storm shutters. You can't do this stuff, folks. So just keep that in mind. If you are a listener who was getting up there in age, just ask for help. I know it's hard, but sometimes you just have to realize that you can't do the things you used to and just ask for a little help. But as I said last week, I mean, this is the strongest hurricane ever recorded in the Atlantic Ocean. Sustained winds of 185 miles per hour, wind gusts up to 220 and possibly above, And what made it even worse is that it just sat there. It had slowed down to 1 mile per hour, and then it stopped altogether, and then slowly moved again at 1 mile per hour. So for like 48 hours, they were being hit with 180 mile per hour sustained winds in addition to those 220 mile per hour gusts. I mean, that must have been, I don't even want to think of what that could have been like to go through. Now, I've been through a bunch of hurricanes myself. As a kid, I went through Hurricanes Belle and Donna. Then as a teenager, I went through Hurricane Ignacio and then Hurricane Hugo just a week later. I actually have both of those hurricanes on the same roll of film. And Hurricane Hugo was just amazing. It hit Charleston, South Carolina, and followed the Catawba River all the way up to Charlotte, North Carolina. 300 miles inland, this thing came in. It was feeding off the river. It was still a hurricane when it hit Charlotte, and was downgraded when it hit Charlotte from a hurricane to a tropical storm. Just amazing that it could come that far inland. And I was out of power for over 3 weeks. It was just absolutely incredible. And then just last year, I went through Hurricanes Michael and Florence. So I've been through, I guess that's a total of 6 major hurricanes that I've been through. And they're no fun. You know, when they're downgraded to a tropical storm, I mean, they're different. There's a lot of wind and rain and stuff. But when you're in an actual full-blown hurricane with all of that wind and all of that rain, it's just an incredible experience to go through. And like I said, Hurricane Hugo was downgraded to a tropical storm when it hit here, but it still hit with 115 mile per hour winds. And I was outside in it, folks. I was like 19 or 20 years old, just having all kinds of fun leaning into it on a 45 degree angle and letting the wind hold me up. And I was also outside when the 135 mile per hour gust came through, and it still hadn't gotten daylight. And I just had visions of shingles coming through at like shoulder height. And I said, you know what, I'd probably better get back inside. But just an incredible experience to weather a storm like that. If you've never gone through a hurricane or a typhoon or a cyclone, depending upon which ocean you're on, it's something that you really don't want to deliberately go through. If you have the opportunity to evacuate the area, by all means, do so. Now, I know that if you don't live in an area where hurricanes strike, that you maybe don't understand how serious these things are. Be like, for somebody who doesn't live in the Midwest, in Tornado Alley, you have no idea what it's like to go through a tornado. Well, folks, I've been through hurricanes, been through a couple of tornadoes, several forest fires and range fires, earthquakes when I lived in California, and even here in North Carolina. I think the only major catastrophe, calamity, that I've not gone through is a tsunami. And quite frankly, I have no wish to go through one of those whatsoever. Now, I'm not saying that I wished to go through hurricanes, tornadoes, forest fires, or earthquakes. I'm just saying that of all the disasters out there, the least one that I would ever want to go through is a tsunami. So I live 300 miles inland. If we ever get one that comes in this far, then we're screwed anyway. Smart Aleck George just said that I've never been through an asteroid impact either. Well, no, I've not, but I have been struck 3 times by falling meteorites. So top that, smart ass. Speaking of meteorites, my dad fell the other day. He was out working in the shop turning some of his wooden bowls, and something happened, and he just kind of passed out and fell down and ended up breaking his hip, it looks like, at this point. They still haven't been able to do an MRI on him because of his pacemaker. But I had to call the ambulance and followed him down to the ER with all my lights flashing. But I went back on Sunday because I had to bring his personal effects to him. You know, and his clothes and his cell phone and that sort of a thing. While I was there, I decided I was going to park on the upper portion of the parking garage. As long as I was there, I was going to look for meteorites. Because chances are, if you find a rock on the upper deck of a parking garage, there's a good chance it may actually be a meteorite. And I carry around one of those little telescoping sticks with a rare earth magnet on the end that's really strong, because a lot of times I'll hit a traffic light that won't turn, and I put the magnet down and I can use it to change the light. As well as if I happen to see a strange looking rock that doesn't look like it belongs, I'll go ahead and put the magnet on it. Well, the problem here is that in North Carolina, at least, the aggregate that we use for ballast on railroad tracks and for gravel is granite. Unlike up north where it's bluestone, which is actually basalt, down here it's granite. And granite a lot of times will stick to a magnet. So you have to be very, very careful. A lot of your meteorites are actually meteor wrongs. So I took about maybe 15, 20 minutes once I dropped everything off to my dad and spent some time with him to actually walk around the upper deck of this parking garage. And by the time I got done, I had 8 stones that were stuck to the magnet, 7 of which were meteor wrongs, and I had 1 meteorite, which was absolutely gorgeous. It's about the size of a pea, very clear fusion crust on it, all kinds of little holes that were burned through. This thing is absolutely gorgeous. What you would think of a classic meteorite, this thing is just about the size of a pea. But that comes back to what I've been talking to you about before, folks. To be a meteorite hunter, you don't have to know where a big meteorite has come down. These things fall every day. 100 tons every day, something like 100,000 tons every year of space debris fall on our planet. They literally fall out of the sky everywhere that you go. So what you do is you go to a place high up off the ground where chances are these rocks that you find aren't going to be brought up in the tread of your tires that far. Now, there were a few that were brought up, obviously, because they were granites. But one nice meteorite out of that. Folks, on a Sunday, most of these parking garages are closed. Well, I mean, they're not closed, but I mean, they don't charge anything. You go in there, park up on the upper deck, and walk around, and you never know what you're going to find. Now, mine was fairly small, but one of these days, I'll find something of a sizable size. And it's just free money. Again, it's like going through all of your coins, looking for silver, going through all your pennies, looking for copper, looking for Wheaties, looking for Canadian pennies. It's things that you can do like this that you can get a reward for practically doing nothing. While I have a few minutes here before I gotta take a break, I just want to run some of Hank Johnson's greatest hits, because folks, I really want you to understand just how stupid this guy is, and he still is representing the state of Georgia. And this is what we're up against. This is the mindset, the mentality that you and I are up against as far as liberals go. Hank Johnson is an idiot, to say the least. But it's typical of the mindset of the progressive liberal. He just happens to be extremely stupid on top of it. So let me go ahead and run some of Hank Johnson's greatest hits, and I'll go ahead and take a break. And folks, I hope you get a chuckle out of this as big as one as I got. And let me just remind you, folks, you cannot make this stuff up. This is right out of the horse's mouth.
As I am prone to do, I use a lot of analogies. Mama, mama, the patent trolls are coming. The patent trolls are coming.
Can I show a minute and 41 seconds, sir?
The gentleman's time has expired.
I'm getting shorted on my time. 30 seconds?
If the gentleman needs additional time, I'd gladly yield 30 seconds. 1 minute.
Could I get another minute?
I yield another minute.
2 minutes.
1 minute.
1 minute.
Okay. Gentlemen,
15 more seconds.
I yield the gentleman 15 seconds.
I'm sorry. Mr. Chairman, I will, I think I've mixed up my speeches. We've got to ensure access to helium for all. What do you do when the wolf is crying out? Well, actually barking out. There being no helium for comedians to get that high-pitched voice. Do you move back from the door and then kneel down and pray and hope that everything is okay? Ferguson
could happen in any place in America, whether or not it be in Ruby Ridge, Utah, or wherever Ruby Ridge was.
I guess we'll probably have folks putting on white hoods and white uniforms again.
Brings to mind occasions where, as a youth, my sister and I would go to my uncle's house. I would use as my text the song some of us may remember by Janet Jackson, "What Have You Done For Me Lately?" My uncle's wife would prepare a lot of food, and we would sit down and eat, and the food would taste terrible. "What have you done for me lately?" We had a couple more days to be there, and we hoped for the best. And so the next day, we sat down at dinner, and we had leftovers. What happens when you put in a cage fight a giant in with a midget? The use of the midget, the use of the M word is no longer socially acceptable. Well, the midget will not win the fight, I'm gonna tell you that. Now, the M word refers to a group of people, the little people. If you put 30 midgets in with that giant, then the midgets have a chance. It really refers to a medical condition. Now, they have weight classes in cage fighting. Dwarfism is the name of that medical condition. You'll just have equal weights. You'll have equally weighted combatants. When you put a quarter in the pocket of a rich man, then there's a hole in that pocket and it trickles down. The quarter falls out into nickels and dimes.
Location, it's 7 miles between one shore and the other. Is that correct?
I don't have the exact dimensions, but to your point, sir, I think Guam is a small island.
When you're downstairs in the bathroom and something's leaking from the upstairs bathroom, and then someone tells you that it's raining, it just doesn't make sense.
My fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
We don't anticipate that.
But wait, there's more. Order right now and you will get...
If you want to find out more about little people or abnormally small people or unusually small people, there's a website. There's a group, actually, called the Little People of America. And their website is at lpaonline.org.
Hank Johnson, ladies and gentlemen, Congress Coon from the great state of Georgia. I don't know whether to be scared or to be happy. I mean, it's scary that somebody like that is actually representing a state, but happy at the same time that that's what we're up against and should be fairly easy to defeat. But that is a representation, an accurate representation of the loony left.
30 years from now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
College students, high school students, business owners, entrepreneurs, learn how you can be a person of influence for a new America. Enroll in Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. Learn more at www.sotctraininginstitute.com.
Georgetown law professor Lewis Michael Seidman says that the U.S. Constitution is archaic and downright evil. and people like this are teaching in America's law schools, it's frightening. Well, here's your chance to listen to one attorney who stands on principle and fights for the dreams of freedom-loving Americans. Listen to Jason Robb, host of Cross Examine, each week right here on KKK Radio.
Gay Pride Days, school assemblies, posters on the wall. It's in our face every day. What's a white Christian teen to do? And does anyone really care? Listen each week to White Youth Focus, where teens discuss the propaganda war against them. Moderated by caring and thoughtful white Christian activists, Billy and Charity. Because it's okay to be white and proud.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. Folks, Walmart has really stepped in at this time. As you are very well aware, I'm sure, they have announced that they will be no longer selling certain ammunition and firearms in their stores. This is the same mistake that Dick's made last year, the year before, and their sales have been faltering significantly, and their profits are down significantly. Now, Walmart made this dumb decision after the most recent shooting in Texas that happened at one of their stores. They have since updated their gun policy, which now will be discontinuing the sales of short barrel rifle ammunition that could be used for military style guns. Well, let me tell you, there is no such thing as short barrel rifle ammunition. You have ammunition that's made for pistols with barrels of any length, rifles with barrels of any length, or shotguns with barrels of any length. In fact, the 7.62 by 39 millimeter round that is on their banned list was originally designed not for the AK-47, but for the SKS, which came out in 1945, 2 years prior to that, which had a 20-inch barrel on it. These people are morons. The 223 cartridge was originally designed for a hunting rifle. It was adapted to the AR-15 and later the M16. These people have no clue whatsoever. They're also going to be banning handgun ammunition nationwide. Why? That's just stupid. So does that mean that anything that can take a handgun cartridge will no longer be sold, including 22 caliber long rifle? It's stupid. And they will also be banning handgun sales in Alaska, which apparently is the last state where they were being sold by Walmart, because Alaska is a big hunting state. How many mass shootings do you have in Alaska? I wonder. So what they're going to continue selling are long-barreled deer rifles and shotguns, along with the required ammunition, hunting and sporting accessories, and apparel. So essentially, they're becoming a hardware store. Well, let me tell you, folks. We saw this happen with Dick's, as I said. Who's benefited from this? Dick's certainly didn't. Walmart's certainly not going to benefit from this. And Walmart's been on thin ice the past few years anyway, with the absolute eruption of Dollar General stores popping up everywhere. Now, Dollar General does not sell guns and ammunition yet, but they are popping up in every small town across America and in almost every neighborhood in the cities. They're simply quicker to get to, and they sell a lot of the same stuff that Walmart does, just on a much smaller scale. In fact, they're even starting to have farmers markets come in to some of these Dollar General stores. Number two is you have the explosion of retail giants that deal with sporting goods, such as Academy Sports. I mean, they have literally taken everything that Dick's gave up, and they are opening up stores left and right. So that niche will be filled. Walmart is essentially shooting themselves in the foot on this, no pun intended. And several responses to this on the positive side from conservatives. Or let's see, what do we have here? Actually, Tommy Lauren says, Walmart and handgun ammunition sales. That's fine. It'll just drive customers to small business ammo retailers. Walmart just shot itself in the foot. They're a loss. Katie Pavlich says, curious if Walmart will now provide armed security at all of its stores now that the company has made it clear it doesn't like individuals who do their duty to carry and do their best to protect themselves. So that brings up an excellent point and something that I want to discuss, because Walmart also made an additional statement that they will no longer be allowing open carry in states that do allow it by law. And that includes North Carolina, the state in which I currently reside. As long as it's not posted, you can walk into the grocery store. You can't go into the bank. That is a state law. You cannot walk into the bank with a gun. You can in Virginia, not here in North Carolina. But unless it's posted, you can walk into any business, car dealership, grocery store, Walmart, the pharmacy, anything. And it's perfectly legal. So now they're going to restrict legal gun-carrying people from entering their establishments. They're not saying anything about concealed carry. So what's the difference? What's a bigger dissuader? Someone who's actually got a gun on their hip, or someone who may or may not have one, because you can't tell? Obviously, open carry is one hell of a dissuader. And that brings up another point that I want to piggyback off of that. At least here in North Carolina, if you as a business post that it is illegal or that you are restricting people from carrying handguns into your business, someone comes in and does actually open up and kill people, hey, guess what? You are now responsible and open for one hell of a lawsuit, because North Carolina law says you are depriving the individuals in that business of being able to defend themselves, and you are therefore required to protect them yourselves. And if something like that happens, you have failed in your responsibility and are open to legal action. So maybe that's what it's going to take. I don't know. But I am tired of this happening everywhere. People get scared. You can't carry. You can't carry. You can't do this. You can't do that. Well, Walmart started this. I'm sorry, folks. I've had a really, really bad week. You know, with my dad falling and everything, I'm just tired as hell here. So please bear with me. But now other stores have decided they're going to take on the same approach. There was a whole list. The only one I can remember is Wegmans, which is a grocery chain out in the Midwest or out West. I know I've shopped there, but I honestly don't remember what state it was in. So now you have all these businesses going to piggyback on this and copycat it. And it's just not going to work. So perhaps in the not too distant future, we will see something like this happen in one of those establishments and see what the legal ramifications are. Oh my God, there's just like something in my throat. I sure hope I didn't pick anything up at the hospital. Anyway, it's coming up on the time where I'm going to be ending the show anyway, so I'll just go ahead and leave it on that note. Folks, I want you to think long and hard about what you're seeing going on here. And take the time to send letters to all these businesses who are going to ban you from being able to openly carry in their establishments, and remind them of the laws in your state if they apply like they do here in North Carolina. Because a lot of businesses aren't aware that they become responsible and take their signs down once they're made aware of those laws. So, gotta go here, folks. I will be back next week. As always, if you want to get in touch with me, you may do so by emailing me at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. Until then, stay awake, stay prepared, stay free, stay alive, but most of all, stay tuned, because I will be back next week, hopefully in better condition. Until then, my friends, this has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.